You sing that so beautifully and sincerely. Now that all the hoopla of this past week is past, we get down to business. We get down to the fundamentals. And the text that Stan read this morning digs down to the bedrock. Digs down to what's really important about being a Christian. It is a text that does not demand any particular theology. It does not demand that you be a part of any particular denomination or social class or income level. It is a simple call. Follow me. Of course, in the days of Twitter, following someone means a little different than what Jesus had in mind. But I think we all understand what Jesus meant when he said, follow me. Follow me. And we have all answered that call. That's why we're here. But over the years, we have heard other calls, calls that sometime displace, if not drown out, the call of Christ to follow him. So, the text brings us back to this fundamental thing about being a Christian, the call to follow Christ. I remember learning as a child the little chorus. Maybe you know it too. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. You know that one? Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow him. Follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere he leads me, I will follow him. You know it. Following him. You know, every great religious leader in history has had followers. The startling thing is the way Jesus chose his followers. Did he go to the University of Jerusalem and choose the brightest and the smartest students in the undergraduate religion department? Did he require letters of recommendation? Did he call on prospective followers to come interview with him? How would Jesus go about picking his closest advisors, those who would be with him through all that would follow? How about going down to the lake shore and picking out some uneducated fishermen? What? Are you kidding? That flies in the face of everything we know about building a new movement. But from the very beginning, Jesus seemed to be offering the message that God's movement would consist of ordinary, everyday, regular people. If Jesus had chosen only the smartest and most religious and most pious people, I have a sneaking feeling that most of us wouldn't be part of the movement. He started with two brothers, and then two more brothers, and then eventually 12. And then those 12 multiplied over the centuries until finally here we are, students of Christ, followers of Christ, people who have heard the same call to follow Him. But we're in the first month of the year 2017. And we're worshiping not in Capernaum, but in Providence, Rhode Island, United States of America, North America, planet Earth. And we are part of that long procession of people who have heard their name called by Christ, saying, "Follow me," and we have answered, "Yes, we will follow you." Now, there's another fascinating thing about this story. The writer of the text seems to be emphasizing the startling fact that Jesus left his hometown of Nazareth and moved to Capernaum, a town described as across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, if you had been a Jew in those days and heard that description, you would have been shocked that Jesus chose to move to a place like that. Orthodox Jews would view Capernaum only with contempt, a place of mixed religions, not like Jerusalem, the buckle of the Torah belt. Capernaum up in Galilee was where the great roads of caravans crossed. One famous road is mentioned in the text. It's called the Way of the Sea. That was the north-south caravan route. And it led from Damascus through Galilee, all the way down to Egypt and Africa. The other road, the east-west road, led right through Galilee, all the way out to India and even China. That was where Jesus chose to set up his headquarters. It's no surprise they deliberately chose a place where there was a great diversity of peoples and religions. Have you noticed the number of religions observed in Providence lately? Far more than when we were growing up. Providence is like the Galilee of our times. And it's in just such a place as Providence that Christ still calls his persistent call, "Follow me." Ordinary people like you, like me, seem to look up and wonder if it's their own name they hear. And surprise, it is. Your name, called out from all the rest because Christ knows you and loves you, your name on his lips, calling you to be a faithful follower. And we've committed ourselves to following Christ through our normal everyday lives. Jesus did not call Peter and Andrew, James and John to do something they didn't already know how to do. Their calling was an extension of what they were already doing. He called them to fish. But their fishing would take on greater significance. We believe that we are called to be authentically who we are. Back when I was teaching at a seminary in North Carolina, I got to know Will Willimon, who was the chaplain at Duke University. And he preached every Sunday at Duke Chapel. He tells about receiving a phone call late one night from a distraught father of one of the students there. The daughter, it seems, attended church at Duke Chapel, listened to Will preach every Sunday, and Will was indeed her pastor while she was in college. She was a promising graduate student in dental school, and her father called Will very upset because she had announced to her family that she was going to drop out of dental school in order to teach school on an island off the coast of South Carolina. Will said he knew that she was miserable in dental school, but he agreed at the father's insistence that he would call the daughter and meet with her and talk with her, as the father said, talk some sense into her. The father was convinced that she was ruining her life. So Will called her. And when she got to his office, she said, "Oh, Dr. Williman, I just want you to know that I've been thinking about doing this for a long, long time. But there was one thing that helped me decide to do this. It was a sermon you preached 2 weeks ago. It was a sermon on the call of Christ, follow me." She said, "I am so grateful to you. I have never been happier in my life." Will didn't quite know how to respond. He said a few words on behalf of her father. And then he said, "Was it really my sermon that made you decide to do this?" She said, "Yes, it was that sermon on the call to follow Christ that prompted me to make this decision." And Will said, "But Celia, it was only a sermon." May the call of Christ be heard once again on a January day in Providence, Rhode Island.